comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
This is Frisson Radio, bringing you the best and brightest of Canadian sounds.
Take a journey to the fourth world. Further north than young. Friendship, stories of old. Creative approach, timeless. Bass lines, groovy, smoothed out, cruising. Vocals, chords, poetic, more so prophetic. Gnome and the Count, beats to keep them in time. Ego checked, all off, bets. To share sound and style. Project name, place otherworldly, atmosphere earthly. Welcome to The Fold on Frisson Radio. I'm your host, Ola Matsuka, and today we welcome special guests, Toronto production artist, songwriter, duo, Gnome, and The Count. Hi, guys. Nice
Hello.
To see you.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Pleasure to have you on the show. Congratulations on the release of your debut, Fourth World EP.
Thank you.
Released earlier, I guess, this spring into summer through People's Champ. As you're both established and diverse in your artistic practices collectively and individually, the project really reflects this liminal area between fantasy and reality. So in your own words, what does this idea of the fourth world look, sound, and feel like?
Cole, you wanna start it off?
I guess I could take that. I think what the fourth world really is like an escape from reality into, say, like a phone or some kind of distraction. And it's about like leaving our current world behind, and whether you're exploring somewhere or if you're escaping, it's kind of just like a different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was definitely an emphasis on escapism as a theme, you know, kind of throughout the project, escaping into a digital landscape, which, you know, I think is pretty common these days. That's what we're all doing. We're all consumed by, you know, the digital world, and it can be kind of all consuming, and trying to find a way, I guess, to sort of navigate, you know, personal turmoil through that digital space. And, you know, talking about, you know, disillusionment and heartbreak and expectations that are, you know, don't fulfill themselves, and experiencing all that through sort of a digital lens. And I think sonically we tried to reflect that kind of weird in-between space with the production and with the lyrics and everything we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is audible. You can feel it. Mm-hmm. There is a real, there's like a physiological sensation that comes through in the music, in mm-hmm. the sound. And I think that's really impactful that you've carried that across in that concept and idea. And in creating the project too, you talked about turmoil. And there's just so much turmoil and just in general, whether in our personal lives, public, universal, things going on around us. Has the project been cathartic in any way? Did it, you know, especially since working on it with someone else, like what was that like?
Yeah, it was super cathartic and helpful to, I think, to talk about things that, obviously me and Cole have been friends for like, you know, over a decade, and, you know, we're able to talk about personal things with each other, but it's special to be able to do it through the music. And, you know, personally, I was really dissatisfied in a lot of areas of my life. I was dissatisfied with my job. I was dissatisfied with where I was creatively. I was a little heartbroken. I was a little bit mopey. I was down horrendous, as they say. That was actually what we wanted to call the project, Down Horrendous. And yeah, I was really spending a lot of time, especially on my phone, and that wasn't making me feel better. But being able to get these songs out and get them out with Cole and to work through these things was not only necessary, it was also really fun to kind of get back in the groove and explore these themes with him and try and figure out sonically how to match those themes on the record. So super, super important to do that, I think.
Yeah, that's a big part of that writing process too. And one thing, I saw a photo recently, and you mentioned being on your phone in such a digital world. However, the place in which the concept for the project came up was actually within nature, from what I understand.
That is correct.
By a lake, a fire. I assume someone's cottage or somewhere in Northern Ontario. But tell us a bit about that moment that really kicked things off.
Yeah, that was at my parents' cottage at Prince Edward County, and we had gone out for a couple days, and there was one night where we stayed up all night, and like we were all just hanging out together, and then as like the sun was rising, me and Daniel were the last two people who were still awake, and I think I said, or like we both were just saying, like, for a lot of the night, like, we need to like build a fourth world. Like, we need like a fourth world, because I think we were just like so sick and tired of kind of like, I think the way we were thinking of it was like a new world. Mm-hmm. We reeled in the concept.
Yeah. It was very vague at first. We just knew that we felt like we needed to escape the confines, and maybe being out in nature kind of helped with that, but also escape the confines of our own egos and our creative kind of creative rut that I think both of us felt like we were in creatively and career-wise, to be honest. And being out in nature and, you know, spending that period of time there really, I think, helped us come up with that term. And then eventually all the music we started creating, we were like, oh, this is some fourth world kind of sounding stuff. Mm-hmm. And it became almost like a calling card for the genre that we were trying to encapsulate. Yeah,
that's beautiful. And there is a color, a stone, an element, scent in some ways too, with the track Amber. And when I think of that, now we're talking about that photo, right? Like being near a fire and like this, like, catalyst and this element, there's that color and that feeling, embers and amber. So that track on the project, it you know, has this there's this so much intentionality in the arrangement, and it's very sensory. What inspired that? Like, take us a bit behind the production process of this one.
I think Cole can speak to the production, because he started that one off.
Yeah, I think, with that be actually, I had like the drum loop going, and I was trying like 20 different ideas over it, as I sometimes do. Like, I'll get the drums and that'll come very naturally. And then I get really, really picky when it comes to like the melodic elements. And I think that chord progression, like, almost came out of like a frustration of, like, none of these ideas that I'm like thinking about and trying to pull from and like trying to have control over were like really sitting. And out of that frustration, I played just like those like two really simple chords, or three chords. And like, you can kind of feel like almost like the frustration and like the performance that I was like playing it. And yeah, that was like how I started the skeleton of the beat, and then I built on a couple more layers and then sent it to Daniel. And he added a guitar part that like really, really elevated it and just kind of like added to the musicality of the beat. And like, we layered like bass with sub bass, and like the whole thing just became this like huge wall of sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It got really expansive pretty quick, you know, like it started really as just a loop, drums and those three chords. And then I was kind of like, this is so simple and so minimal. And then my writing brain was just able to write to it because there was nothing in the way. And then I basically wrote the song in like 15 minutes and sent him back the scratch vocal. And we ended up using the scratch vocal. And then after that, it was just producing it out, making a bridge section, adding, you know, synths and then the weird kind of sort of slowed down effect at the end, which really felt like it. The song to me just felt like it had so many movements and so many arcs and was really kind of a, it sounded like a Ferrari that was had a broken down engine or something that sounds like it's breaking apart, you know, and it's like a luxury car that was on its last legs or something. Like there's really glossy elements and then there's elements that are super distorted and oversaturated and messed up. And I don't know, that's what I listen for. And most of the stuff that he does is I'm always listening for the texture and the, mm-hmm. and the, it was really intentional building those textures.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely embodies that. Let's listen to Amber, the first track from Fourth World, the new EP by The Count and Noam, here in The Fold on Frisson Radio.
One hand
That was Amber by The Count and Noam, who join us in the fold on Frisson Radio this evening. We're chatting about their debut project, Fourth World.
Beautiful track.
Thank you.
Production and crafting unique sounds is not easy for all. It's not intuitive for everyone. It's something that is both natural and spiritual, yet people often disregard the level of work and time required. Cole, you're known for giving excellent artists advice, whether online or in your newsletter. You once noted that five things holding back creativity includes not working with other people or in other studios. Tell us a bit about why and how your relationship with Noam on a creative and personal level has also informed the strength of the project.
Yeah, I think it's just so important to get different musical perspectives when you're in the studio, because I get so wrapped up in my own influences and in my own styles and the things that I like. And so that's why I like working with other people. And Daniel especially, it's like we have like so many kind of parallels in terms of like our taste and like what we think is great. But then like our skills are really complementary to each other as well. And so like he just brings something like completely different to the table that I could not do myself. And it really just like elevates the music and like creates something that's like really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have a lot of like our tastes are similar. And like when we work on music, a lot of times, you know, the way we communicate is kind of like, oh, it'd be sweet if like we had like kind of a Dilla like snare on this, or if we had like drum fills that were like Bink, or like, you know, like so many of our references are rap producers like Bink and Just Blaze and Black Milk and Dilla and Madlib, and like that's what we bonded over musically initially. But then at the same time, you know, we love a lot of singer-songwriters, you know, we love, you know, like Sia Gray or, you know, Charlotte Day Wilson, like these kind of artists. And we love soul music and the neo-soul that came from Philly and The Roots. And it's just like we can communicate, I think, because all of our tastes are so intertwined. But because he's really producer-oriented and I'm producer-oriented to an extent, but really songwriting-oriented, it's like it's a really good marriage of skills and ideas, and working with each other over the years, we've kind of, I think, developed almost a level of honesty with each other when we're working on music as well, where I can say, yeah, you know, those drums aren't it. Or like, I'd be like, yeah, you could deliver that better. You could sing that better, you know, but for the most part, it's like, it's supernatural, but it's, because we've known each other for so long. I think that's the beauty of working with your friends, is you can kind of feel free to say anything and do anything and try anything.
Yeah. On another, like a deeper note too, about like the personal component of getting to know each other on that level of being able to be vulnerable and honest, especially in the creative process, what's something that you've maybe learned or discovered about yourselves in working with each other?
Man, I think that I need to be less of a control freak, to be honest. Like, I think a lot of times I really am angling for a song to go in a specific direction, even when maybe it's not calling for that. And I have a very specific vision for most of the things I make. And Cole will sometimes throw a wrench in that in the best way possible. And I think I am learning to like, yeah, go with the flow, I guess, a bit more, and for both of us to kind of trust each other's inclinations. If I say, oh, you know, I want to do something more up tempo and house and, or, you know, French electronic music or whatever, you know, it's like, we'll try it. And he's willing to go there with me. And I think vice versa.
Nice.
Yeah. I think for me, it was just about like learning patience and like being able to get myself out of my own comfort zone, because like my whole thing is making beats. And a lot of the time, like I'm listening to beats and like, that's like my favorite kind of music to just listen to is like instrumental, like hip hop. And so like getting into Daniel's world and really like working on like the song idea and being able to simplify my own beats and like just take a step back and not fill so much of the space to like really give him space to write. And so that's been something that I've like a skill that I've wanted to develop, and working with Daniel, it's like the best way to do it. Cause like we're just really good friends. And so like we can just hang out and kind of just learn from each other and figure that out like slowly and just be patient with each other to make the best music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really important. And the other aspect of working with others is I want to throw back to 6 years, 6+ years ago, Great Minds, the Great Minds sample pack, which really champions other artists and producers from the city. And it's a great way to say like, hey, like, let's all be communal about this and join in together and support each other. I want to talk a bit about that, the importance of that, of supporting other people in the space and in the industry, especially in the city, and how that does really foster strength in creative relationship.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And well, with the Great Minds thing, I thought like that was one really great way to do it, because at the time, like I had found some success online doing my sample packs and kind of making money that way. And so I just kind of approached it like, okay, like I'm having these musicians over and I've worked with them for a long time. It's like, why not work together on some of these sample packs and then put them out collaboratively? And the name Great Minds was just kind of like natural, because it was like Great Minds Think Alike. Mm-hmm. And I'm surrounded by all these great minds in the studio. And so that was the concept for that, which is, I discontinued it. We did a few of them, but now we're pivoting into this thing called Count Labs, which is like kind of the next frontier in the sample pack world.
Yeah. And we do have a sample pack actually coming out on the 27th of July.
Perfect.
Called Orb. So that's a way to give back again. But yeah, I think like, I don't know, I think those resources are super important. And like coming up when I was learning how to make music on my laptop or whatever, it's like there weren't a lot of resources available to find out things. It was like early YouTube. So you were like, how do I chop a sample in Logic and put it in the EXS sample? You know, like all these things were like, that information wasn't readily available like it is now. And having access to good sounds is like abundant. And I think those resources are awesome for up and coming producers to have almost a level of instant inspiration for them where they can just get creating instantaneously. I think I wish I had that when I started producing. It would have eased a lot of the process. And I think, giving back and giving those tools to people is amazing, because then they send you what they made with it and you see the results, and people are so grateful to have sounds that are really, there's an attention to detail and a care that goes into it. And like, we would never put out any sample packs or sounds that we wouldn't ourselves use in our own music. And a lot of the sounds in this pack, I think some of them are actually from the record, you know, like, so we're giving people straight up like the, you know, a synth that we, like a synth loop that we used on a couple of the songs, or drums that we used. So it's like, why not give back? Like, we don't, you know, it's the least you can do.
Yeah, they're not going to do the same thing as us. They're going to take it and shape it into their own music and like make something interesting with it. So
Yeah, it's a really cool way to share. So yeah, thank you for expanding on that. And a track that I think it's probably my favorite track on the whole project is The Void in Me, and I feel that this one really nails what you two are doing with your signature sound and the embodiment of all these elements. It opens with a really cool groove, progresses into this beautiful harmonized section about 2.5 minutes in, and then closes out with really bright chords. I don't know, there's something about this one that just like, for me, it's a beautiful project through and through, start to finish, but this one is like, so the layers really.
Everyone's
really
got a different favorite.
Yeah. And it takes me to this this fourth world.
Mm-hmm.
Void in Me, lyrical content of the song, Did you? Was that you?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
He's writing them.
I'm writing all the lyrics. He's making the beats. I'm making some of the beats too, but yeah, I'm writing the lyrics. Yeah, I think that was a bit of a revelation that I had about myself when I was writing that song. And it was kind of about, I guess when you have a lack that you feel within yourself, you wonder if sometimes that lack is what attracts certain people into your life, if that lack is what creates a certain dynamic in a relationship or with a friend or with someone that you work with. Sometimes that lack can be exposed in a way, and you're kind of asking yourself, is it because I have this void that I keep attracting this sort of energy into my life? And certainly I felt that I did, and I still do in a sense, and that's something that, you know, I kind of learned about myself through writing the song. Cole managed to bring that one home, and we got some great production from Vu, who did the additional production towards the end, played piano and bass, and added some really beautiful progressions towards the end, and expanded on the idea and took it to another worldly kind of place.
I feel like the beat really complements the vocals in that way. Like it does kind of feel that, and you feel this, like, it's almost like a, like there's like an ominous feel to the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it that's what I'm saying.
Intensity to
it's,
it.
It's and very like intense.
The lyrical content is pretty intense too. It's like,
yeah,
yeah, you're going to like the edge of Daniel's psyche.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to take you there. You know, if you want to come along, you're more than welcome.
Let's fill the airwaves. This is The Void in Me by The Count and Noam here in The Fold on Frisson Radio. You're in the Fold on Frisson Radio, and that was The Void in Me by The Count and Noam off their Fourth World EP. Toronto is abundant with creative minds, the novice, the pioneering, the progenitors, and the innovators. And drawing from this place, this city, what outside of the arts has shaped your approach on how you work and move?
Man, I love sports. I wanted to do sports journalism. I feel like the energy of the city when the Raptors are good or when the Jays are good, like we saw last year with the World Series, is such a palpable thing and is so special and kind of is a uniting force. And I feel like movement and the body in general, I love playing sports. So playing basketball, playing tennis, you know, just like moving my body is like essential. And I have such a tremendous respect for athletes. And I think there's so many parallels between athletes and musicians. I think sports in general is super inspiring to me. You know, the discipline it takes, the mental turmoil that athletes go through. That's like, if I wasn't doing music, I would be working in sports media in some capacity. I still might. I don't know. I might drop this music thing and just go work at Sportsnet or something.
Never too late. Yeah. Never too late.
I think for me, it's I take a lot of influence from other creatives in the city and in different fields and like in the fashion design scene. So if you know the brand Legends League, I take a lot of inspiration from Brian, who runs that, and he just has so many like interesting creative ideas, and I love just like I love his writing as much as I love like his fashion brand. Mm-hmm. And so there are just like some really interesting creatives. Josh Pong, who's a designer. And just seeing design and fashion and like visual art like has a lot of influence on the kind of sounds that I want to make. And like I want to make something that sounds like how that looks. So just that kind of like crossover.
For sure. And I want to also go back to a bit of you know, past lives too in career stuff as well. Noam, you used to be called Middle East Beats.
Oh no, did I write that? Yeah, I did. Middle East Beats. Yeah, that was a different era. But go on.
A different era. Tracks like Copycat, Lion's Den.
Wow.
What was the early you like in terms of your work and how has that evolved since?
That was me learning how to make beats on Ableton and putting them on SoundCloud and being inspired by the likes of all the great sample based producers, the Pete Rock, I mean the Dillas, the Premieres, the Architects, the, you know, the Organized Noises of the world, like countless producers that I essentially tried to steal their sound until I could find my own. I think the Middle East was an era of me making sample-based music and learning about breaks and learning about training my ear in a way to find samples. And it was like a musical education in a way, because that's how I learned about the music I like, was through listening to records and sampling them. And
I feel like you ended up liking the samples.
I ended up liking the samples. You know, I don't know if I would have found a lot of groups if I hadn't started sampling music. I remember one time my brother had a Mandrill record, and I remember putting it on the record player. I was like, oh, that's the Kanye sample from Two Words on College Dropout. And it was just like those kind of moments straight up blew my mind. And they still do, you know, and that made me love music so much more. But that was a formative time, and it was a great time because I could just make music and then put it directly on SoundCloud and get like instant feedback. And from there I was like, well, why don't I just start making my own samples and making my own music? And because, you know, I figured that was the next logical kind of progression from Middle East was to start making music like that and start making music with that approach, making music that I would want to sample.
Yeah. And also tracks that have been picked up on television as well. And you've produced music for CBC, Sort Of.
Yep.
Loved that series so much. And Peacock's Bel Air as well. So you've had extensive experience composing for film and TV. How has that shaped your work at all?
It's taught me to, I think, check my ego at the door a little bit and serve something bigger than myself. Because I think a lot of times when you're composing for television or film, I did some music for a kids show this year on Netflix, and it was like I had to like write for children, and I had to like not put like sus chords or like, you know, really like jazzy things in the production, because they're like, no, we want straight ahead pop for kids. And so I was like, I'm not thinking about what I think is dope. I'm thinking about what a 6-year-old thinks is dope.
But then somehow you making it.
But then somehow I'm making it is kind of dope, you know. But I think, yeah, it's like that has taught me that sometimes you have to be in service of a thing larger than yourself. And it's a team effort in that sense. When I'm just making music with me and Cole, it's like we can do whatever we want and there's no limits. But when you're doing something for a show or for a commercial or for a production of that nature, you gotta, you know, you have to accept the brief and read what the references are and try and emulate that the best you can. And that's a good skill to have as well, I think.
And that leads us to great expectations. What are the expectations of the people you are serving and of yourself too? Mm. So when it comes to both of you and within Fourth World, what are key approaches or things that you seek for fulfillment in the work?
I think one of the most fulfilling things is the process of just being in the studio with Daniel and like finding the spark of those song ideas, or just like a long session where we're jumping around, just like maybe playing video games or go get a coffee and then coming back and approaching something with fresh ears and just doing like hours of mixing or like arguing over a sound. It's like all of that is really the most fulfilling part to me. Like, I mean, it feels great to put out a record and just like have it in your hand and show people and listen to it and hear it out in the world is all like a very fulfilling feeling too. But it's like I'm just the most excited about kind of chasing the feeling of just being back in there making the music, because that's where I'm really like just the happiest, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just making something from literally thin air is like the coolest thing ever, and there's nothing better than that. And almost stumbling upon a song it's special, you know. And it's, yeah, I think every artist kind of chases the fulfilling part is like pulling something out of thin air that didn't exist before, and now it exists, and now it's on vinyl, and now it's on streaming platforms, and now it's for everyone else to do what they will with it. And I think that's the great thing that we're all kind of chasing, and that's the expectation that we're attempting to fulfill.
And with that, let's dive in to Great Expectations here in the Fold on Frisson Radio. Someone else, I feel a little more vacant. You're listening to Frisson Radio, and this is The Fold. I'm Ola Matsuka. We're hanging out with the Count and Noam this evening. They are the duo behind Fourth World. So something that is really exemplified, like on the title track of the project, is like that spectrum piece. It's kind of like a psychedelic atmospheric component that gives you this like aural, A-U-R-A-L landscape that we spoke a bit about earlier. I wanted to touch upon something that connects to a friend of the show, Quincy. And I noticed that there are a bit of like percussion and key changes that are similar to Cold in the song. Maybe that's just me, but I just picked up on that and I thought that was kind of interesting. So for those that are just tuning in, Quincy was a guest of ours earlier in the spring, and you know, you're both, you know, tight with Quincy and have supported her work, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I picked up on that and it was like a really cool little layer in there. But also those components of the song are beautiful. Like, you know, really it's what makes it.
Well, I mean, I played guitar on Cold and I played guitar on Fourth World. Yeah. So that's probably the thread there.
The thread, yeah.
You know, it was both fingerstyle guitar that I was doing. So, I mean, that's, you picked up on that for sure.
You definitely have a good ear, because I also did a bit of co-production work on that track. Mm. And so the kind of switch up at the very end, there's a drum loop that we recorded at my studio that like Quincy or somebody like manipulated and flipped at the end of the track. And so, yeah, it's there's a bit of both of us on that track. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The sort of sonic signatures they carry over.
Yeah. There's a lot of resonance there. Yeah. And it's cool to hear, again, going back to that collaboration piece, right? With each other, but also extending to other parts of the city and other people, which is really strong too. Mm-hmm. So let's travel to the Fourth World. Again, this is Fourth World, title track, here in The Fold on Frisson Radio. This is The Fold on Frisson Radio. You just heard Fourth World, the title track from the Count and Noam's latest EP, Fourth World. As we roam through the body of work, there's a level of nuance in all the notes and features in the song structures. I want to talk about the track Bad Timing. Any key influences that really shape the work around this song?
I think one influence for this song, or at least something that I saw a lot of parallels, was like Toro y Moi.
Mm-hmm.
And like that kind of, like, it's almost like pop with a twist, kind of like a lot of the sounds and production are still quite like forward, like almost like in a hip hop kind of way. And then like melodically, it's like leaning into something just a lot more cheerful than other stuff on the record, and kind of like a bit catchier. And I thought it was like, me and Daniel kind of tasked ourselves with writing a pop song.
You gotta have one, right? No, I think that one, yeah. Toro y Moi. I feel like it sounds a little like Phoenix influence there with the drums are super dry and forward, and like the vocal is super dry. Yeah, I think Toro is a great call, though. I didn't really even pick up on that. But yeah, Toro y Moi for sure. He's so good at like extremely catchy melodies, but then like really strange production choices underneath, and then, you know, just sick bass lines. Like, he's such a great musician. And that one definitely feels like it's an outlier on the project, because the rest of it is really brooding and melancholy and strange, and then this one is like, hey guys,
yeah, you know? It was a last minute addition.
It was a last minute addition. But love that song, and there's a crazy sample on there too.
Yeah,
that we will never speak of.
Ooh.
The gate kept sample.
A
gate kept sample.
Yeah.
Okay, we might have to dig in a bit more. And
you'll never find it. It's got like 37 views on YouTube, so good luck.
Okay, we'll see. Here's Bad Timing by The Count and Noam, The Fold on Frisson Radio. That was Bad Timing by The Count and Noam from their latest EP, Fourth World. Their debut project out now, and the vinyl is also out now, which is really exciting. Looks beautiful. Love the artwork, too.
Thank you.
Love the art.
Shout
love the green.
To Will Cox and Jack Harrison, Cole's extremely talented brother. And who did the kind of overlay?
It was one of Jack's friends.
Tim Bracken.
He's an artist from the UK, and he specializes in kind of texture work and basically like bringing the textures from like real materials
into digital kind of prints and stuff. So yeah, shout out to Tim Bracken.
Yeah,
and
he
Will
did a great
and Jack.
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it embodies the work. I feel the project is so cohesive.
That was the goal. Make a cohesive project that people will, you know, no skips. That was the goal. No skips.
I still can't believe it because my brain is not cohesive.
But mine is.
Yes.
So, you know, seesaw.
Exactly.
It's a good balance. It's a good balance. Before we close out with the last tune for the evening, anything else you'd like to share, add, any intentions you'd like to set? This is usually our time where you can put something out there, something you'd like to work on, something you'd like to experience or explore.
I just want to get better, you know? I just want to get better at my instrument. I'm playing a lot of bass these days, trying to learn a lot of James Jamerson bass lines, Motown bass. So I'm trying to get better at my instrument, and I'm trying to have fun playing an instrument. You know, a lot of times it's work and it feels like work, and sometimes, you know, you have to remind yourself that it is play, and you know, you're playing music, you're not working music. So Sorry that sounded so lame. Can we come?
But it's true. Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, just having fun, I think. And you know, I think maybe bringing more humor into the music, to be honest. I think going forward, maybe with the next project, you know, it won't be so heavy, and it won't, you know, there will be more humor, because I am a funny guy and I want people to know that, you know? I do have a sense of humor. I do laugh. Cole, anything to add?
It's not all voids.
It's not all voids. Here. Yeah.
It's not all voids.
There's
yeah.
a light in the
There's
void.
A light.
I think for me, it's definitely like, putting out more music, and I find myself and like lots of other people and other producers like have a hard time just like sitting on a lot of music and kind of waiting for everything to be the right time. And
his album's really good.
So I have an album I've been sitting on for a few
so
years.
So long,
now.
Dude. Just put it out.
And it's a great piece of work, but I think, you know, just getting into a place where I can put out stuff like as I'm the most excited about it and not kind of stress about the details and the little micro details of the mixes and things. Although like I do enjoy doing that, I think just being able to kind of let go of these things is important. And that's what I'm working on.
Yeah. Anything else upcoming? Any shows or events we can keep an eye out for? I know you have the sample pack is coming out on July 27th,
yeah.
Orb.
That's the big drop right now. We're super excited about that. Yeah, the sample pack, I don't know. I'm really excited about Cole's album.
Yep.
It's so good.
It's coming, and it's featuring Noam.
And it's featuring
my favorite track
on a really good song. So
yeah.
And a bunch of other really crazy artists that we can't name.
It's just about there. I think it's almost time, and I also think I will lose all interest in it if I don't get it out by the end of the year. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out for that and ears open. And where can people connect with both of you in the virtual?
You can get
world.
Me on LinkedIn. No. You can follow me on the hellscape that is social media. The name is Noam on all platforms.
Instagram is a great place to connect with me, and it's where I kind of post a lot of my in-progress ideas. My Instagram is Count Cole.
Thank you both for joining us this evening. The final track that we're closing out with is Run for Your Life. Many thanks, as always, to Frisson Radio founders and producers, Mix Lamont and Nabil Pervez, and to you, our listeners. Don't change the dial. Nabil has your Saturday night soundtrack covered. I'm Ola Matsuka. You've been in the fold on Frisson Radio. Ciao.
Well, you said don't be a stranger. And it's what you became. Yeah, you're just another face with a name. You say you don't want to hurt me. What you do to say? You say, hey, my shield. It's all right, right. You better run for your life.
From my, you better run for your